Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Anne Margulies to the broadcast. Anne is the University Chief Information Officer at Harvard University. In that role, she's responsible for technology plans, policies, and services that support the university's mission of teaching, learning, and research. In addition to her institution-wide technology planning and coordination role, Anne directly oversees Harvard University Information Technology, which provides IT services to 30,000 educators, students, and staff. Prior to her role at Harvard, Anne was Assistant Secretary for Information Technology and CIO for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Anne has also held additional roles in the online learning community, including as the founding executive director of MIT OpenCourseWare and as the founding chair of the OCW Consortium, an international organization comprising 300 universities around the world working together to share educational materials. I recently caught up with Anne in her office in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed her IT Academy training platform that helps her IT workforce maintain and grow their technology skill sets. Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed the strategic plans and future priorities for the IT organization. We also discussed her experience working with massive open online courses, including HarvardX, edX, and the OCW Consortium, the future of online learning, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as Strategic Facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Anne Margulies, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter.
It's great to speak with you. And I wanted to begin with your role. You are the Chief Information Officer of Harvard University, one of the biggest brands in the world, certainly. But perhaps some of our listeners would be less familiar with what the role of CIO is within the context of Harvard. So I wonder if you could give us a bit of a definition of what's within your purview.
Sure. Harvard, needless to say, is a large, complex, very decentralized university. As the university CIO, I'm responsible for information technology strategies, plans, and policies, as well as all of the university-wide infrastructure and applications that serve all of our schools. In addition, I'm directly responsible for end-to-end technology for the central administration and for the Faculty of Arts and Sciences. And the Faculty of Arts and Sciences is the largest of our schools. It includes our undergraduate college as well as our Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. So it's a large portfolio.
Certainly sounds it. And you mentioned that strategy is one of those areas that is under your watch. Can you talk a bit about your method of crafting strategic plans? And if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing some of the details of your latest plan?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a very important leadership group here at Harvard called the CIO Council. And I chair the CIO Council. It's comprised of the CIO Councils of our professional schools, as well as some, our chief technology officer and our chief information security officer. This leadership group is responsible for developing Harvard's IT strategic plan. And the way that we do that is we focus very much on those things that make sense and are most important for us to work on together as a university, as opposed to those technologies that should be done separately school by school. 5 years ago, we developed a strategic plan with key strategic initiatives for the university, and the CIO Council has now also been responsible for overseeing the implementation of the strategic plan. Since then, we've updated and revised the strategic plan just last year because we finished some initiatives and we've added some new ones. So it's a process that I think is actually working quite well for Harvard.
Excellent. And can you talk a bit about some of the latest aspects of your plan, some of your priorities for the foreseeable future?
Sure. We have a framework to organize our strategic initiatives and to connect them with the university mission. Obviously, our mission is about teaching and research, so we have a couple of strategic initiatives tied directly to that, as well as to administration. And then we have what we call foundational initiatives that are needed to support administration, teaching and learning, and research. In the area of teaching and learning, we rolled out a new learning management system across the campus. It's being used this semester by 99% of the courses that are taught here. So we have over 3,500 courses being taught this semester using this new learning management system. And the learning management system is what the faculty and the students use for all of the course materials. So that's where the students go for the syllabus of the course, for all their assignments, their readings, they submit their homework, they get their grades, they have discussion groups or other interactive learning tools that we provide through the learning management system. So that's an example of a pretty mission-critical application that the CIO Council said, you know, we shouldn't do this school by school. We should do that for the university, and we're very happy with how that's rolled out this year. Another example that we rolled out this fall is our student information system. Again, a really, really important system because that's what's used to register and enroll students in their classes, as well as put them in the right sections. Some courses have lotteries as to whether you get into the class or not. It is the authoritative record for all of our student records, including grades. So the student information system our faculty use to advise students on their scholarship track here at Harvard. And it's, again, a system that every faculty member and every student gets their hands on, certainly at the beginning of the semester and at the end of the semester, but frequently throughout the semester. So those are two large systems that have really been a significant change for Harvard. Until this year, each school had separate learning management systems and separate student information systems.
I know from our past conversations, Anne, that the IT Academy is something that you've developed that you're particularly passionate about. Can you provide a bit of a description of that?
Yeah, we're in the education business, so we realized that we should, in fact, provide much better professional development and educational opportunities for our IT staff. As the work that we do changes, we need to make sure that our workforce is building new skills to be able to deliver these new services in new ways. So what I mean by that is we're moving more and more of our technology to the cloud and running less of the technology ourselves. We need to be much more embedded in our community, acting as trusted advisors as to help them make the right technology choices for whatever it is they need to do. We also need to be trusted advisors helping to integrate all of the different systems that we deliver so that it's easy for our community, for faculty and students and staff, to be using the right technology for the right purpose. So this is a skill set that's around having a service mindset, being a good, strong communicator and a trusted advisor, in addition to having a set of core professional skills that we believe every IT professional needs in ITIL and Agile and project management and information security. So we've structured an IT Academy around these core skills that we believe the entire workforce should have. And over the next 3 years, everyone in our IT workforce is going to be taking these courses together. So in addition to acquiring common language and common skills, we're also strengthening the community by bringing them together. And strengthening the community means we're going to be collaborating more and more across the university. So we're really, really excited about it. We launched it in June, and the response has been extremely positive. We've already put about close to 1,000 IT staff through at least one course.
That sounds really meaningful. How is it administered? What's the platform that you're using for this? Or is it something that's multi-headed at this point?
That's a good question. I don't actually know what learning management system we're using for that. It's not the same one that our students use. Hmm. I know that in a couple of years we're deploying one, so I think we're on somewhat of a temporary platform. But one interesting component to it is a badging component. And I believe we have a third-party vendor for this badging component. But each of the six foundational core courses has four levels to it. When you complete a level, you get a little digital badge. And that badge, people are putting it in their email signature. They're putting it in LinkedIn. It ends up in their personal record in our PeopleSoft system. So that's a third-party vendor that we brought in.
Understood. You mentioned several of the disciplines that will be included as part of the IT Academy that become sort of the toolkit that every IT professional ought to have. How did you go about selecting those? The ones you mentioned certainly make a lot of sense, but I'm curious how you made the determination as to what was in and what was out.
It's a great question, because when we issued our strategic plan and we defined this, what's clearly going to be a dramatically different service delivery environment for us, the CIO Council recognized that there were some gaps in the, generally some gaps in the skills that we had. And we talked to a number of major consulting firms and research groups, and they validated that those were key skills, but we couldn't find a program that already existed that we could buy to train our staff on it, which is when we said, well, we're in the education business. Let's see if we can do it ourselves. So one of the things that's exciting about it is that our staff are creating it. So it's really our staff training each other. And it's really done. It's really helping, as I mentioned earlier, to build much stronger relationships and collaboration across our IT community.
Fascinating. Well, education, not only is it the business of the organization that you're a part of, more broadly speaking, it's something you've gotten involved in a variety of very creative ways. You were, in some ways, there for some of the earliest iterations of what might be described as certainly is now described as the MOOCs, as you were the founding executive director of the MIT OpenCourseWare. You were the founding chair of the OCW Consortium, which is an international organization which comprises a whole range of universities around the world working together to share educational materials. I'd love for you to take a walk down memory lane and talk a little bit about your time at MIT and some of those early conversations and early inclinations that led to the development of a more open approach to education, which now, of course, has exploded in a variety of exciting ways.
The time I spent at MIT was incredibly exciting. I still feel honored to have been able to be there when the MIT faculty came up with such a bold idea. You know, back then, it was incredibly bold to say, instead of trying to just make money on all of our intellectual property, we think if we give it away, if we actually open up our course materials to the world, we can serve our fundamental mission. And they said the MIT mission is to advance education and serve the world. So by sharing the educational materials that are created in MIT openly with the world, the MIT faculty felt that they were really fulfilling their mission. It was huge at the time because most other universities really weren't thinking in that way. So I was very, very fortunate to then be able to go there to implement the faculty's idea. And it was the opposite of a thankless job. Every day, people all over the world thanked MIT through the OpenCourseWare program for making high-quality educational materials available to self-learners to learn or available to other educators to be able to use in education wherever they are. So it was an incredibly rewarding experience, and it really was the beginning of this MOOC movement that's happening now. So it's an exciting time to be in higher education in IT because it's opening up huge new opportunities to fulfill the basic educational mission.
Speaking of the MOOCs, you were involved in the early stages of edX and HarvardX, an organization that continues and one of the most prominent of the MOOCs. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Anand Agarwal on this forum as well. I wonder now as that has evolved and as you've been involved in the next iteration, if you will, of EdTech and the massive open online courses, what is your own perspective? You have one of the longer histories in understanding this evolution that's happening. I know it's still early days and the winning strategies have not all been determined, but I would be curious in your experiences across the past couple of decades as this has progressed.
That's a big question. I would say there, what we learned from OpenCourseWare, what we know now from EdX, is there is a huge demand and almost an insatiable appetite for education. And it's tremendous to be able to deliver very high quality education. There are a lot of alternatives out there. And certainly EdX, MIT, and Harvard are focused on trying to deliver the highest quality education. The big challenge that existed with OpenCourseWare, and I think is still a challenge and still to be figured out with MOOCs, is what is a sustainable business model? So how do you give away educational materials for free and still generate enough revenue to be able to sustain it? And so I know edX and some of the other ventures like Coursera are experimenting now with different business models that will enable them to continue to offer high-quality education, but hopefully in an affordable way.
I wonder, as you look forward now for the next, say, 3 to 5 years, what are some trends that particularly excite you from a technology perspective? What are some of the things that you and your team are beginning to investigate that you think may have increased relevance within an environment like Harvard University?
Well, on the research side, high-performance computing is just exploding. It used to be just something that was used in the hard sciences, but now high-performance computing can be used across all of our disciplines, because with the web and the Internet of Things and different research methodologies, even faculty in the humanities use computing to generate new discoveries. So we're focusing a lot on research computing and on data science and how we are able to support our faculty to make sure that they have not just the computing capacity for their research, but also the expertise in data scientists and research computing staff to help them analyze the enormous amounts of data that are being generated now. So a lot of new discoveries are going to happen in every discipline because of big data and high-performance computing. On the teaching and learning side, of course, we're very focused on online learning, and we already talked about the enormous potential we see with edX. On the administrative side, I think we're still hoping for some significant productivity improvements. And there are so many options now. We're hoping on the horizon we'll be able to simplify more limited set of productivity tools for our community that will genuinely foster collaboration and sharing, not only within Harvard, but with colleagues at other institutions.
Excellent. Well, Anne Margulies, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and providing some thoughts about the many things that have made you the successful Chief Information Officer that you are. It's been a great conversation.
Oh, thanks a lot. It was fun, Peter.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on world-class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.